Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be joining us in other devices and later on recording, Saba blessing everyone. We have a very gloomy side over here. It was very nice before, but it just started to be able to be cloudy. I hope you're having better weather wherever you are in this world. This is a part two review of our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall. This is a part four on this Sabbath, June 3rd, 2023, of our lesson 383. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more to open our theme song for the Tiny Tot 361, Heart Till the Shepherd Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find? Who'll bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the rest to Jesus. Out in the desert, doth hear their cry. Out on the mountain wild and high, hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wanderers to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If anyone of the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, would like to open their section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for this Sabbath day. You can take the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Next day, thou thy labor. And the seventh day, the Lord of the God's day, you say and pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, it's time for us to hear all the blessings you have been for your mommies or daddies or even our members in our family, if you would like to share. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Good morning, good evening. For this mother's helper or mommy's and daddy's little blessings, just wanted to share last week, is it this week? Tuesday that just passed. I was supposed to accompany my daughter Haley on a school trip to the museum. And while I dropped off to school and went to go and with the other parents to chaperone the trip ended up not happening. But what the Lord was able to do for us, was allow the parents that were there to stay in school the entire day with the children. And we improvised. We took them to the playground so they could get some fresh air and play around. As we were assembling and to meet up, I thought like the teachers were split up, like, you know, as they would have been as if they were going on the trip. So I'm looking for my daughter Haley and I don't see her. I had went back into the school and took her book bag and went to go put it in the car so she wouldn't have to be carrying her book bag on the trip. But when I saw her, I didn't see her with the first set of kids, and then I saw her coming around the corner with her teacher. And she was coming around with another book bag on her back. And I'm like, okay, that's not her book bag, but she has another book bag on. But it was a teacher's book bag, and in the book bag, it had all the first aid kits and everything, like the ice pack and everything like that. And she was helping the teacher to carry those things and was basically being an assistance to anyone who was injured, who fell and who needed an ice pack as they were playing outside. So it gave me an insight to see that she was just not like just a blessing in the home, but a blessing to in school also, that she is readily able to help everyone. While on the playground, a little baby came in, and Haley left everything and went to go have, she's not familiar with the baby. She came in and I'm looking around for her. She's holding the baby's hand, trying to maneuver the baby throughout the playground, so that she doesn't get like ran over or hit by anyone as they're running around. The other students were running around. So I was able to have that insight into seeing just how she was in school. And it was really a blessing to see that, she's not only helpful here or have the willingness to help at home, but that is also being shown. And it shows that her light is shining. And that is a blessing to me, to see that, you know, she's able to do that. Not in the grand way that, you know, one would expect, but just by showing love and care to everyone that she comes into contact with. So that's what I wanted to share for Mother's Helpers. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. Is there any other family that would like to share the blessing that the little ones have been, not only to family, but also their peers or even friends? May you unmute your mic, dear ones. We are going to proceed, dear ones. This is the story of Jesus, chapter 12, the Good Shepherd, part 4, and this is our review, and our dear brother will be able to share it with us.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Matthew 14 and 28, and all the rest of the references on this page. From Matthew 13 or 14:28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." In other words, tell me to come. I can't step out of this boat without permission, you know. In Matthew 14:29, "And he said," Jesus said, "come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." And verse 30, "And when he saw the winds boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." And verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who shall alive and remain shall be caught up within the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Next slide, please. "Then he cried, Lord, save me. And the Savior's hand was stretched forth to lift him up. Matthew 14:28-31. So whenever one cries to him for help, the hand of Christ is stretched out to save. The Savior raised the dead to life. One of these was the widow's son of Nain. The people were carrying him to the grave when they met Jesus. He took the young man by the hand and lifted him up and gave him alive to his mother. Then the company went back to their homes with shouts of rejoicing and praise to God. So also the daughter of Jairus was raised, and by Christ's word, Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, was called forth from the tomb. Next slide, please. So when Christ shall come to earth again, his voice will pierce the tombs, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Pierce, penetrate, reach. And the dead shall rise to glorious immortal life, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 again says, it was a wonderful work done by our Lord during his ministry on earth. Of this work, he spoke in the answer he sent to John the Baptist. John was in prison and had become despondent or discouraged. He was ever troubled by doubts as to whether Jesus was really the Messiah. So he sent some of his followers to ask the Savior, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" That was from Story of Jesus, pages 79 and 80. And later we'll find out Jesus' answer.
Amen. Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled The Good Shepherd in our Tiny Talk books, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place June 10th, 2023. And now we are going to hand it back to our dear brother to give you the review question for the story.
All right. In review, when Peter fell in the water, what did he then cry out?
Lord, save me.
Lord, save me. Yeah, I think what happened, seems like Ellen White says that he got to walking on the water and he turned around and looked at his buddies to say, look at me, guys. He got his eyes off of Jesus and started to sink. And then he needed to be helped. So he said, Lord, save me. What will happen when we cry, when you and I cry to Jesus for help?
The hand of Christ is stretched forth to save us.
Christ will stretch forth his hand to save us. It may not be in the same manner, but he will save us because he's promised to do that. What will happen when Christ comes back to earth again?
His voice will pierce the tombs, and the dead in Christ shall be raised.
His voice will reach the ears of the dead, and they will come back to life. Yes. All right. Thank you, and we'll see you next Sabbath.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Good job, everyone. So it's time for our tiny thoughts from parents and also our guests to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. And this is our review section for part 37 of our water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother Josh will share the review with us.
So blessings, everyone, and here's today's lesson concerning water. the Wildlife Part 37 review. Lesson 11, A Sick Man Healed. Part 3, read John 5, 10 to 13 and the Desire of Ages, pages 203 to 204. The Bible verses for our 37th Wara lessons are taken from the book of John, chapter 5. And the verses say, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Research reverence the Sabbath. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Exodus 23:25. The store paralytic stooped to take up his bed, which was only a rug and blanket, and as he straightened himself again with a sense of delight, he looked around for his deliverer, but Jesus was lost in the crowd. The man feared that he would not know him if he should see him again. As he hurried on his way with firm, free step, praising God and rejoicing in his newfound strength, he met several of the Pharisees and immediately told them of his cure. He was surprised at the coolness with which they listened to his story. With lowering brows, they interrupted him, asking why he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. They sternly reminded him that it was not lawful to bear burdens on the Lord's day. In his joy, the man had forgotten that it was the Sabbath, yet he felt no condemnation for obeying the command of one who had such power from God. He answered boldly, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They asked who it was that had done this, but he could not tell. These rulers knew well that only one had shown himself able to perform this miracle, but they wished for direct proof that it was Jesus that they might condemn him as a Sabbath breaker. In their judgment, he had not only broken the law in healing the sick man on the Sabbath, but had committed sacrilege in bidding him bear away his bed. The Desire of Ages, pages 203-204. The sick man, now well, had not broken the Sabbath. Jesus had not broken the Sabbath. He always reverenced the Sabbath day. But Jesus' ideas on how to keep the Sabbath were not like the ideas of the doctors of the law and the scribes and Pharisees. The question was simply a matter of whose ideas were right. There was no question then about what day was the Sabbath, but instead was, how should the Sabbath be reverenced? In our day, church people are still having serious disagreement over the same question. Are God's ideas about how to keep Sabbath right, or man's ideas? Man's ideas are very different from God's ideas. Man has even changed the day so that many are referencing Sunday, a common working day. Just as Jesus was called a Sabbath breaker when he was really keeping the Sabbath truly, so God's people will Sunday be persecuted for not referencing man-made ideas about the Sunday Sabbath. And here are the instructions. Here are the materials needed for fomentation. The materials needed are 1, a steamer with boiling water on the bottom. 2, 4 or more fomentation cloths made from half wool and half cotton, 30 to 36 inches square, or 0.9 to 1.8 meters. Three, several large towels. 4, a washcloth and a pan of cold water. 5, tongs. And 6, or you can use an electric moist heating pad. And fomentation contents, how to proceed, being the directions on what to do with them. 1, Make sure the room is warm with no drafts on the patient. Step 2, have the water boiling in the steamer. Fold the fomentation cloths in about 3 thicknesses. Place these cloths into the steamer. When they are sufficiently moist and hot, use your tongs to lift them out of the pan. Wrap in a dry fomentation cloth, then roll up to hold heat. Carry it to the patient to apply. 3, uncover the place to be treated. Place the fomentation on cover with a towel. So 4, be careful not to burn the patient. You can rub underneath it until the patient can take the increase of the heat. Step 5, leave each fomentation on about 3 to 5 minutes. Always have another ready to replace the one that is removed. Dry the area and put another fomentation on it. Expose it as little as possible. Step 6, put 3 fomentations on. When the last is removed, cool the area with a washcloth around from cold water, then dry thoroughly. Step 7, and cover or have patient rest quietly and keep them warm for a while, a half to 1 hour at least. And the purpose for this commentations are, 1, to relieve congestion for a chest cold, increase circulation to an area, 2, neuralgia or an outbreak of pain along a nerve, 3, arthritis or painful joints, 4, decrease the pain in an inflamed area by bringing blood to the surface, 5, given on the spine, not too hot for nervousness, as a sedative. And step 3, and here's how being careful. Step 1 is to have a warm room, which should be 75 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 24 to 27 degrees Celsius. Be careful not to chill the patient during treatment. Step 2, the feet should be kept warm during the treatment. Step 3, always wipe the skin before or the next fomentation. Step 4, change fomentations quickly and the part treated should not be left without protection. Step 5, if the patient perspires freely, dry after the treatment and rub with alcohol. A cool cloth can be kept on the forehead or neck during treatment. The head should be kept cool. And the bomb says, deliver from disease. Continue our reference reading to the water topic of our Tiny Talks lesson, chapter 21, Bethesda and the Sanhedrin, part 3. The Jews had so perverted the law that they made it a yoke of bondage. Their meaningless requirements have become a byword among other nations, especially with the Sabbath hedged in by all manner of senseless restrictions. It was not to them a delight, the holy of the Lord, and honorable. The scribes and Pharisees had made its observance an intolerable burden. A Jew was not allowed to kindle a fire, nor even to light a candle on the Sabbath. As a consequence, the people were dependent upon the Gentiles for many services which their rules forbade them to do for themselves. They did not reflect that if these acts were sinful, those who employed others to perform them were as guilty as if they had done the work themselves. They thought that salvation was restricted to the Jews and that the condition of all others, being already hopeless, could be made no worse. But God has given no commandments which cannot be obeyed by all. His law sanctioned no unreasonable or selfish restrictions. Sire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 1. In the temple, Jesus met the man who had been healed. He had come to bring a sin offering and also a thank offering for the great mercy he had received. Finding him among the worshippers, Jesus made himself known with the one words, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The Sire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 2. Next slide. The healed man was overjoyed at meeting his deliverer. Ignorant of the enmity toward Jesus, he told the Pharisees who had questioned him that this was he who had performed the cure. Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Isaiah 54, paragraph 3. Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin to answer the charge of Sabbath breaking. Had the Jews at this time been an independent nation, such a charge would have served their purpose for putting him to death. This, their subjection to the Romans prevented. The Jews had not the power to inflict capital punishment, and the accusations brought against Christ would have no weight in a Roman court. There were other objects, however, which they hoped to secure. Notwithstanding their efforts to counteract his work, Christ was gaining, even in Jerusalem, an influence over the people greater than their own. Multitudes who were interested in the harangues of rabbis were attracted by his teaching. They could understand his words, and their hearts were warmed and comforted. He spoke of God, not as an avenging judge, but as a tender father. He revealed the image of God as mirrored in himself. His words were like balm to the wounded spirit. Both by his words and by his works of mercy, he was breaking the oppressive power of the old traditions and man-made commandments, and presenting the love of God in its exhaustless fullness. Desire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 4. Desire of Ages. And here are your bonus questions. Question 1 is, what did the Jews say to the cured man? Find the answer in John 5:10. 2, how did the man answer? Check John 5:11. 3, did the man know who had healed him? Check John 5:13. And I'll return back to Mom.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And dear ones, you may need to go back to these, especially for the fermentation, in case that you need it. You can separate it from the actual project and keep it very close just for future reference. And remember, little ones, bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wonder ones to Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And for those that are joining us in other devices, our opening song is a hymn entitled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, found in 290 in the hymn book. If you would like to be able to share the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er our sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, promise. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to take. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The world in this wonderful faith. And the things of earth will go strangely dim. And the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If anyone would like to be able to open our review section of our family studies with prayer, may you please unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless you, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up for this morning. And please protect the seven words that we're about to learn. And please protect, the people that's in the Sabbath. And please, people that's not in the Sabbath, and they can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture Singer-Song Memory Verse CD in the section of Promise. The scripture is taken from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, King James Version.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we take a few moments or a few minutes to be able to reread our part one of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, part four, in our study book, The Desire Ages? If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Desire of Ages, page 727. Pilate had a desire to know the truth. His mind was confused. He eagerly grasped the words of the Savior, and his heart was stirred with a great longing to know what it really was and how he could obtain it. "What is truth?" he inquired. But he did not wait for an answer. The tumult outside recalled him to the interest of the hour, for the priests were clamorous for immediate action. Going out to the Jews, he declared empathetically, "I find in him no fault at all." The Desire of Ages, page 727, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 727. These words from a heathen judge were a scathing rebuke to the perfidy and falsehood of the rulers. of Israel who were accusing the Savior. As the priests and elders heard this from Pilate, their disappointment and rage knew no bounds. They had long plotted and waited for this opportunity. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. As they saw the prospect of the release of Jesus, they seemed ready to tear him in pieces. They loudly denounced Pilate and threatened him with the censure of the Roman government. They accused him of refusing to condemn Jesus, who, they affirmed, had set himself against Caesar. Desire of Ages, page 727, paragraph 5. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 728. Angry voices were now heard, declared that the seditious influence of Jesus is well known throughout the country. The priest said he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. The Desire of Ages, page 728, paragraph 1. Pilate at this time had no thought of condemning Jesus. He knew that the Jews had accused him through hatred and prejudice. He knew what his duty was. Justice demanded that Christ should be immediately released. Next slide, please.
Okay, continuing. Some blessing, everyone. This average is 728. What Pilate dreaded the ill will of the people. Should he refuse to give Jesus into their hands, a turmoil would be raised at his fear to meet. When he heard that Christ was from Galilee, he decided to send him to Herod, the ruler of the province, who was then in Jerusalem. By his course, Pilate thought to shift the responsibility of the trial from himself to Herod. He thought it's a good opportunity to heal an old quarrel between himself and Herod, and so it proved. The two magistrates made friends over the trial of the Savior. Desire of Ages, 728, paragraph 2. Amen.
We are in the Desire of Ages, page 728. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing the reading. Pilate delivered Jesus again to the soldiers, and amid the jeers and insults of the mob, he was hurried to the judgment hall of Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. He had never before met the Savior, but he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Continue on the next slide, please. Continuing, this Herod was he whose hand was stained with the blood of John the Baptist. When Herod first heard of Jesus, he was terror-stricken and said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Mark chapter 6, verse 16, Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Yet Herod desired to see Jesus. And continuing on the next slide, please, I'll bubble down and share with someone else.
The Desire of Ages, page 728, continuing. Now therefore was opportunity to save the life of this prophet, and the king hoped to banish forever from his mind the memory of that bloody head brought into him in a charger. He also desired to have his curiosity gratified, and thought that if Christ were given any prospect of release, he'd do anything that was asked of him. Desire of Ages, page 728, paragraph 3.
A large company of the priests and elders had accompanied Christ to Herod. And when the Savior was brought in, these dignitaries, all speaking excitedly, urged their accusations against him. But Herod paid little regard to their charges. He commanded silence, desiring an opportunity to question Christ. And continuing on the next slide, please. He ordered that the fetters of Christ should be unloosed. At the same time, charging his enemies with roughly treating him. Looking with compassion into the serene face of the world's Redeemer, he read in it only wisdom and purity. He, as well as Pilate, was satisfied that Christ had been accused through malice and envy. The Desire of Ages, page 729, paragraph 1. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us consider this verse, dear one, and the chapter 1 Peter 3:15 as a memory verse as well. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? We are going to reread the questions that we have today that you can be able to share your answers. For those that are not able to see the screen, the first one is, who is the main characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one, dear ones, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, you can do so. Otherwise, use your mic. Who would like, dear ones, to take the first one?
First one, who is the main character or characters of the story?
Jesus, Pilate, and the Caiaphas and the people.
Herod. Jesus, Pilate, and Herod.
The answer to question two was, the main idea for section is Pilate's curiosity and hesitance, and Jesus meeting Herod.
Where did the story take place?
The story took place at Jerusalem, Herod.
The judgment hall of Pilate.
The
and we saw that he was then taken to Herod.
Herod. Pilate.
When did the story begin? This section of the story began when we saw that he was taken from the courts of Caiaphas and taken to the judgment hall of Pilate.
Um, how could you relate to the story? I can relate to the story because right now I am going through the same thing of being accused of things I am not doing. So I am, my instructions were to be quiet and allow the Lord to take control of the situation and handle it. As Jesus was silent, as he was being accused, and rested on God, his Father, to handle the situation.
We have learned with this part 4 and also part 3 that that gap of silence was especially to help the person through the power of the Holy Spirit to work in their heart. So in the studies, we can be able to see what happened during that time. Who would like to take number 6, dear one?
But I learned from the story that, first that just as Christ stayed calm, and didn't revolt when the Pharisees kept accusing him, we must never revolt or say things the wrong way because we know no matter how many people say things that may not be true about us. We trust in God and trust on Him to give us what when to say and what not and when not to speak at all. And also even from Pilate, wanting to know the truth about Luke and wanting to release Christ, but being afraid of how the people react to that mustn't let our fears, no matter how many people or may not like our result. Hold, mustn't let our fear hold us back.
I also learned that the truth, we don't have to defend the truth when the truth can stand on its own and for itself. So a lot of times silence is the only way that truth can be spoken louder. Some people need to be able to hear God speaking, and the more that we interfere and try to prove ourselves, the more that person will not hear the Lord speaking. So silence at times is key for the truth to be found.
Who would like to also share their answer to number 6? What I have learned through this 4-part section of this particular study, I noticed that with the example that the Lord had given us, I had an opportunity to see a bigger picture. Jesus was in the condition that we all going to be one day, or we are in our daily life, or whatever it is as a Christian that we're going to go through. A perfect example that was left for us. Jesus wasn't only thinking about what was going on at that time. He was thinking about the soul of Pilate. He was thinking about the soul of his people as a nation. He was thinking about even until this time. So whatever happens, it affects a broader spectrum. It's like giving the analogy of taking a little stone and you toss it in the pond, and if you notice, it went in the center of it, but it ripples all the way to the shore. And by seeing this bigger picture, the result that was going to happen in that moment, in whatever was the circumstances, it will affect, even though nobody can see who is it affecting, it will eventually. With time, you will be able to see that it wasn't just that moment is what the Lord was bringing forth in the matter. If anybody else would like to share number 6, you may unmute your mic, dear ones. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. We have to share also poems and our favorite music, special music, and also our thoughts. This particular one is taken from Jesus' name above all name. It's also a devotional. The title is Divine Substitute. The beginning of the scripture of the reading is from Romans 5:6, King James Version. And it reads, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We are going to just cover pages 154, paragraph 1 through 6. You can find this particular thoughts and quotes also in Selected Messages, Book 1, pages 258, paragraph 1 through 5. Chapter 36, entitled, No Case in Christ. Who would like to take the first section of the paragraph, dear ones? Are you on mute your mic?
The world's Redeemer possessed the power to draw men to himself, to quiet their fears, to dispel their gloom, to inspire them with hope and courage, to enable them to believe in the willingness of God to receive them through the merits of the divine substitute. As subjects of the love of God, we ever should be grateful that we have a mediator, an advocate, an intercessor in the heavenly courts who pleads in our behalf before the Father.
Ooh. We have everything we could ask to inspire us with faith and trust in God. In earthly courts, when a king would make his greatest pledge to assure men of his truth, he gives his child as a hostage to be redeemed on the fulfillment of his promise. And build a pledge of the Father's faithfulness, for when he would assure men of the immutability of his counsel, he gave his only begotten son to come to earth to take the nature of man, not only for the brief years of life, but to retain his nature in the heavenly courts. Arden. Continuing. An everlasting pledge of the faithfulness of God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of love of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. First Selected Messages, page 258, paragraph 2.
Through faith in Christ, we become members of the royal family, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are one. As we come in sight of Calvary and view the royal sufferer who in man's nature bore the curse of the law in his behalf. All national distinctions, all sectarian differences are obliterated. All honor of rank, all pride of caste is lost.
The light shining from the throne of God upon the cross of Calvary forever puts an end to man-made separations between class and race. Men of every class become members of one family, children of the heavenly King, not through earthly power, but through the love of God who gave Jesus to a life of poverty, affliction, and humiliation, to a death of shame and agony, that he might bring many sons and daughters unto glory.
It is not the position, not the infinite wisdom, not the qualifications, not the endowments of any person that makes him rank high in the esteem of God. The intellect, the reason, the talents of men, or the gifts of God to be employed to his glory for the upbuilding of his eternal kingdom.
It is the spiritual and moral character that is of value in the sight of God that will survive the grave and be made glorious with immortality for the endless ages of eternity. Worldly royalty so highly honored by men will never come forth from the sepulcher into which it enters. Riches, honor, and the wisdom of men that have served the purposes of the enemy can bring to their possessors no inheritance, no honor, no position of trust in the world which is to come. Only those who have appreciated the grace of Christ, which has made them heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, will rise from the grave bearing the image of their Redeemer. First Selected Messages, page 258, paragraph 5.
All who are found worthy to be counted as the members of the family of God in heaven will recognize one another as sons and daughters of God. They will realize that they all receive their strength and pardon from the same source, even from Jesus Christ, who was crucified for their sins. They know that they are to wash their robes of character in his blood, to find acceptance with the Father in his name. If they would be in the bright assembly of the saints, clothed in the white robes of righteousness.
Further reflection, in a world in which differences are often a source of tension, how can I help bring divided people to the unifying ground of the cross? JNN, Jesus' name above all names, page 154, paragraph 6.
Amen. We are going to share also a poem. It's entitled Coming to Jesus. You can find it in Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4 of Lesson 13, page 346 of the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Jesus, that condescending King, is pleased to hear when children sing. And while our feeble voices rise, we not the humble prayer despise.
Then keep us, Lord, from every sin which we can see and feel within, and what we neither feel or see, forgive, for all is known to thee.
We own there's nothing good in us to tempt thee to befriend us thus. For sin and folly waste our days, our prayers are weak and poor our praise.
Yet, Lord, we humbly venture nigh, because thou camest down to die. And all the plea we dare to make is pardon for the merit, for the mercy's sake.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. And we have the special music, and the special music is taken from The Desire of All Ages, Memory Verse, Volume 2, John 1, Chapter 3, Verses 1 to 3.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Dear ones, if there's any testimony that you would like to share, we have the opportunity to share it either after our services or in the middle when we have the intermediate. So, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our Sabbath review. So next week, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall in our storybook, The Desire Ages. If any one of the dear brethren, little ones, or even our guests would like to close our section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we call all by our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before you, thank you for bringing us safely through the week. Thank you for bringing us yet into another Sabbath day, another Sabbath rest day, Father. I pray that you please forgive us for our sins, our iniquities, anything that we have done in this body, known and unknown. I pray, dear Father God, that you will please continue to heal and to deliver and to restore according to your perfect will. You know and have a balm for each and every one of our woes. And I pray, dear Father God, that according to the measure of our faith and according to your perfect will, that you will please continue to heal and guide. Thank you for so many answered prayers, dear Father God, and as others were put upon the altar this morning for healing and restoration and guidance, dear Father, I pray that you will please be able to, according to your perfect will, answer them and bring about those requests, especially those intercessory requests on behalf of others, dear Father God, that are dealing with any type of maladies today, dear Father. Please continue to bless us and open up our eyes, our ears, and our understanding. Please continue to go before us this day. Please elevate our spirit, our mind, and our thoughts into higher grounds with thee, that we may be able to be rejuvenated, dear Father. Please plant your words deep into our heart soil and continue to let us be lights around whomever we may come into contact with. Help us not to be in despair when we're tempted on each side, dear Father. Help us not to be hopeless. Help us not to not remember who you are and just where you have brought us from. but help us to keep our eyes upon thee, taking our eyes away from self and these trifling things, dear Father. We thank you and we love you that no matter the time of day, no matter the time of the week, no matter where we are, that we can call upon thee. And we are calling upon you today, dear Father, to bless us, keep us, and guide us. We thank you and we love you. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be June 10th, 2023. We will continue with part 5 of chapter 77, entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, and that will be lesson 384. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.